Hello, listeners. Are you ready to spring into making healthy choices? Like actually going to the gym, not just putting on the gym shoes? Well, I am. And I have also been making the healthy choice to cut back on alcoholic beverages during the week. Recess mocktails make it so easy to do. These zero-proof craft mocktails are the replacement that allows you to enjoy the ritual of pouring yourself a fabulous drink at only 25 calories or less. Have that friend that alcohol tends to make a little extra chatty? Offer them a recess mocktail at your next get-together. Be a crowd pleaser. Everyone enjoys a recess lime margarita. It's the perfect guilt-free drink in between drinks. Our listeners can enjoy 15% off at takearecess.com/clink. So you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences. That's takearecess.com/clink.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
How's it?
Oh, it is something. So we are having a tornado warning at the moment. So it's a good thing that I record in the closet, Gretch.
That's right. That's funny. Because tornado warning there. Tornado already landed at my house. It happened.
Listen, every time my husband's home for more than 12 minutes, there is a tornado.
Tornado comes through.
And not just him, but it's actually probably not really him. It's just that he's here, so I can blame him for it, but it's really the kids.
Well, we are in the process of moving, and my kids, just for extra fun, have had early out all week. I'm having like PTSD from when I used to like have to drop them off at preschool and you'd have to turn around like 5 minutes later.
Well, we got that today too because of this tornado warning. And so it was like, I took the kid and then I get the text message. It's like, pick him up.
Yeah, that's no fun. I need them to be gone a long time.
Not that long, but long
till,
enough to
till 2 o'clock. Yes, until 2 o'clock, please. And they're so insane. My child this morning said to me, I said, could we just I don't want to yell. Let's just put on our shoes like the first time, you know, let's like get it going. Cause it also really, she takes forever to get ready. And then she also hates being late. So I'm like, how about we not be late today?
Yeah.
And she says to me, okay, but only if you give me a marshmallow. I'm like, where did that even come from? When would I? No, I do not negotiate with terrorists. No marshmallows.
Oh my God.
Just get ready.
I would be like, wow, only one marshmallow. Here you go. Let's get this show on the road.
No, 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 no sugar in the morning. No.
Oh.
I'm You're no fun.
Not fun at all.
Mm-mm. I'm real fun at night. I'm not like that.
But... Oh, TMI, Gretchy. I didn't need to know that.
Oh, geez, Louise. No, all business in the morning.
Mm-hmm. It's like a mullet. What do they call that? Business in the front, party in the back.
I don't party in the back.
Okay. We are getting off to a
rolling start.
Oh, it's going to be a doozy. It's going to be a doozy. I can already tell this case is going to be a doozy. We've been talking. She won't tell me anything about it except for there's some sort of fraud
involved. It's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah.
Oh, one thing I wanted to update everybody on is that last week I told you that squirrels have backs of steel and it doesn't seem like they can actually break their back because that one fell in front of my mother-in-law. Well, the very next day, one fell out of our tree. I already told this on Patreon. So if you listen on our bonus or Patreon, please excuse the double thing. But I just want everybody to know squirrels can break their backs. So I was wrong.
I'll be damned. You learn something new every day.
And I just want to also say thank you to all of you that have subscribed on Apple recently and or Patreon. We have a patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime. We give one bonus episode of crime a month. And every week we give you an episode of fun facts. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
So let's hear your crime, girlfriend.
Okay, let's get to it. Okay, Tab. Today's case takes place in Tucson, Arizona. I have never visited, but I think I would like it.
I have never visited either.
You know, I am into the Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I think ever since, and they lived in Tucson, and one of my favorite teenage movies was Boys on the Side. Remember that movie?
Yeah, I do.
Right. Anyways, I love an adobe-style home in Tucson. For under $300,000, you can buy a nice, modest home. But if you've got $1.5 million lying around, you can buy me my dream home. I found it.
You did?
It's in Tucson. Has a pool and a casita and all those gorgeous wood beams and Sausalito tile. It's gorgeous.
Okay.
I'm going to send you the link.
Save up your money. You know what she did tell me this week is that her husband just wants to go surfing all weekend long. And so living in Tucson would probably not be the best for you.
Probably not. Well, I'm sure because he has ants in his pants, he would find something active in the Arizona to do. But I think surfing helps keep us married because when he goes surfing all weekend, I get to sit on the beach and go drinking.
Okay.
And it's a good deal.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Anywho. Back in the 80s, Mr. Gary Triano was fancied a big deal in the Tucson scene. He had made his money in real estate, but he hit it big, bringing bingo to the tribal casinos. Bingo was really a thing in the 80s.
Listen, I love bingo. Like, seriously love bingo. So I would like it to come back.
I agree. I wish it was more of a thing now. It does just stress me out because I need one hand for drinking and like maybe I need one of those hats, you know, where you put the thing on your head because you really, you got to be like firing on all cylinders with the markers for bingo.
You do.
But I do find it to be a good time.
Yeah. Especially when you win.
Especially, right? I would like to call bingo sometime. That would be fun. Okay. Well, so for a number of years, Gary and his wife were living the life of elites in the Tucson. You know, he was golfing and did the socializing at the country club, and they threw big parties at their home on the regular. Gary was known to be the life of the party. He was just that kind of guy, real big personality, very attractive, and newly divorced Pam Phillips met Gary at one of these parties that his wife threw, right? And for Gary, that's all it took for him and Pam to begin an affair. Within a year of Gary and Pam meeting, he finalized his divorce and married Pam in a big splashy affair on a yacht in San Diego.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah. The talk around Tucson was that Pam was a gold digger. But to be fair to Pam, she was already a successful real estate agent in her own right. So she was no stranger to hard work. She was worth $2 million when she married Gary.
Well, shoot.
Right?
I think she's a gold digger. I mean, I guess.
Well,
how much did Gary have?
Gary had more. It definitely did not seem like it took Pam long to get accustomed to more than a $2 million net worth. Taste real quick.
Got it.
Pam and Gary rolled flashy. They bought a home at the country club. I just imagine that was a real bitter pill for the wife to swallow. I mean, to just get divorced and remarried, take over the country club, all that within a year.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they were jet setting on vacations all over the bougie map. You know, that map that only includes destinations with ports for big yachts, all airports for private planes. That's where
all
they
right.
went.
And he had a much bigger net worth than $2 million.
Yes. Yes. That's what I'm saying. She got to like in that style. So these two were whooping it up like lifestyles of the rich and famous. They were a thing. Okay. I read they even palled around with Donald Trump and Marla Maples in their heyday.
Oh, way back then.
Way back then, that which made me wonder, what is Marla Maples doing now? Let me tell you, she is looking good. I did it wasn't a deep investigation. I just went on her Instagram and
was this the first wife? Was this his first
wife? No, Marla Maples. I'm talking about Marla.
Who's Marla? Sorry.
Okay, everybody else knows. Donald Trump left Ivanka. He had an affair with Marla Maples and they were married, had a child.
Who's the child? Do you know her name?
Tiffany. Yes.
Oh, Tiffany. Okay.
Okay.
Listen, I can only keep so much in this brain in my head. Okay.
Well, and so I just wondered, I mean, clearly it's, you know, everybody moved on. I don't even remember how long they were married. I don't think it was very long. Anyways, Marla looked good then. She looks good now. From what I could gather, she spends her days documenting how good she looks.
Gosh.
She looks good. She's probably got some good doctors. Okay.
I'm sure.
All right. Well, anyways, Pam and Gary had two children together, and thankfully, this brought Gary's older children closer to him and Pam. They said, you know, it wasn't love at first sight for them with Pam in the beginning, right? It's got to be a little tumultuous, but they did grow to love her as their stepmother and they adored their dad. So it was all working out until it wasn't. Pam caught on that Gary's mouth was writing checks that his broke ass could not cash, so to speak. Oh. Okay. You see, the real estate market crashed and Gary was upside down in his investments. So at that point, he thought, you know, bingo, literally, I better throw all the money I have left into the bingo thing, right?
Oh my God. Okay.
But the laws changed so that reservations could now keep all the money on their land. So they were like, we can manage ourselves. We don't need any outside management company to skim from us anymore. So Gary still continued to keep investments going at various casinos in other countries by borrowing money from people who were not exactly legit, the kind of people you would not want to owe money to. And this situation made for a hostile home life for Gary and Pam.
I can imagine.
Right? Okay.
Yes. That seems scary.
Yeah. She's like, this is not what I signed up for. You know, when we said for richer or for poorer, I only meant richer. Okay. And I definitely did not sign up for your now stressed out ass, you know, sleeping with a loaded gun all the time because
that's super scary.
Been borrowing money from some unsavory associates, right?
Hell to the no.
Hell to the no. So Pam went bye. Okay. She filed for divorce after 7 years of marriage in 1993. Their divorce was contentious. Pam filed restraining orders against him for harassment, and he filed a complaint against her for defamation. Pam was arrested at one of their divorce hearings for throwing water on Gary during the break. Can you believe that?
Oh, well, no, I can believe that. I think I would do that too.
Throw water or have her arrested?
I would throw water.
Yeah. Well,
I wouldn't have.
If you were married to Gary, he'd have had you arrested. Okay.
I bet you he deserved his water on his ass.
Maybe. Okay. Well, when they finally did settle, Pam got the house and moved herself. She sold it immediately after, right? And then she moved herself and the kids to Aspen. To give you an idea of Gary's predicament, he ended up filing bankruptcy and he claimed $1.3 million in assets and was $26 million in debt. And he had 74 pending lawsuits. So
that's a lot.
That's a lot, right? Okay. What's interesting about Gary is that despite all of this, he didn't like start keeping a low profile like you might think someone is his position might do. You know, maybe start working. Like you owe everybody and their mother money. Like maybe start working out the Y instead of the country club.
Dude, by the way, that's kind of like the same thing with this basketball guy that stole everybody's money. He's still showing up.
I guess.
Like, wouldn't you never show face again?
No. No.
So crazy to me.
No, I don't get it. Some people have no shame.
Yeah.
He still showed up at the country club, even though he owed them like a load of back dues. Came to his regular scheduled golf games, you know?
I'm telling you, like, I don't think there's anything people could do.
He couldn't give it up being the big flashy guy. He still tipped $100 bills like to everyone all the time, which I watched an episode of Dateline about this. And one of his relatives is like, oh, you know, he just was always so nice. He was always giving out these $100 bills. And I'm like, it wasn't his money to give.
Are we going back to Erica Jane?
Yes.
Not her earrings to wear.
Not her earrings to wear. Exactly. Yeah. So I didn't, you know, he might have had his good points, but I didn't think that generosity in that respect was one of them. I thought it was very irresponsible. Pay your bills. Okay. Anyways. Gary had a new lady in his life right after his divorce from Pam. He was involved with a woman named Robin, who he fathered his fifth child with. His relationship with Robin ended up being real short-lived. They broke up while she was still pregnant. And even though those two got along in regards to custody, things weren't so copacetic with Pam. Gary wanted to pick them up in a plane he was piloting and take them back to Tucson from Aspen. And that terrified Pam. I mean, you and I both are terrified of the small planes too, yeah. Right? And she had a thing about, you know, the mountains and the weather and all that.
Listen,
not letting my kids get in there.
I agree with her.
Yeah. And he seems like kind of a show off. Like maybe you don't take piloting real serious. Mm-hmm. Not with my babies. No way. Okay. So Gary says, okay, like meet me in Denver. And I'll fly out of there, whatever. But that is 10 hours round trip drive from Aspen. So Pam wasn't really feeling that either. After all, Pam was a busy lady. She had settled into Aspen life. She hired a nanny because, according to him, she was on the hunt for a new husband. And she had a
new man.
She had a $20 million net worth minimum. And so that meant a lot of extra nights out for Pam. While she was waiting on her next sugar daddy to make an entrance in her life, she had a couple of interesting side hustles going. She was trying to get into the real estate game in Aspen. You know, that's what she had done previously. But as you can imagine, it's pretty competitive there. And she also had invested in some property in San Diego that was pretty valuable, but it was tied up in litigation. And then she had this business called Star Babies. She fancied herself an astrologer or something.
That kind of star.
Yeah, that kind of star. Yeah. It was some kind of business that was all about children's astrology.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that to quote Keith Morrison, the thing about Pam is she's not afraid of work, which like I like. She has all these hustles going on, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, she wasn't really a girl on a budget. You know, she's like what they say, you know, champagne taste on a beer budget. She had accustomed herself to a certain lifestyle and she just was not going to give it up. She would just fake it until she made it again or met Mr. 20 million minimum net worth. So it seemed a little off to Pam's nanny, which by the way was a dude, which I like that, right?
My friend has a dude.
A dude nanny?
Babysitter.
A manny?
A manny.
Right? Yeah.
That's what they're called.
All right. Well, this dude, you know, knew what Pam's deal was. And so he thought it was different that she was hanging out with her neighbor, Ron Young. Ron started coming over a lot. The nanny got the impression that things were getting romantic.
Serious.
Yeah. Right. Based on some phone calls that were recorded, whether it was romantic or not, but I think it was like a little bit. Okay. It seems like Pam did a lot of confiding in Ron. He knew all about her finances and that she was on the brink of running out of the money that she did have, which she, of course, blamed all this on Gary. She said he didn't pay her enough in child support and he was the reason her money was all tied up in the San Diego property. It was his fault that it was in litigation. She also told Ron she was terrified of Gary, that he had threatened to kill her, and she always worried that he would kidnap her children. And Ron's reaction seems like he's invested in Pam's personal life, but Ron says he was just doing lots of work for Pam and her business. Ron fancied himself a business advisor of sorts. His business, as it turns out, was basically, I will help you grow your business if you simply give me access to all your financial info. And by the time you figure out I'm not capable of helping you grow, I will have drained you and taken out credit cards in your name.
Oh my God.
I know, typical fraudulation stuff. Uh-huh. So just a little more about Ron. So the nanny is like, Pam was hot. She had she wanted $20 million in handsome. Ron's
not handsome.
Not handsome, but you know, didn't fit Pam's regular kind of guy. And he certainly didn't have any money, right? So it's a little sus. Pam eventually called the police to report Ron as fraudulating her Star Babies business. But oddly, she never followed through with her complaint, but didn't really matter because Ron's business model caught up with him eventually when other businesses did follow through with their complaints. And Ron conveniently thought it was time for a change of venue. So he bounced out of Aspen in a rented minivan. That minivan ended up getting impounded in Yorba Linda, California, which is where Ron has some family. And when the impound yard told Ron his van was flagged and the police were on their way down to chat with him about that, Ron decided not to stick around and hear what they had to say.
You have heard me talk about my language learning skills with Rosetta Stone, and I'm telling you, I'm getting really good at it. I learned a little bit of Japanese before we went to Japan last year, and I really love the French language, so I'm learning French at the moment. Bonjour, bonsoir. I'm even getting a little bit of the accent down. Not very good, but I'm getting there. And with Rosetta Stone, it makes it so easy. I download it on my phone. I learn it in the car. It is awesome. You can do it on your desktop, wherever you find it convenient. They are there for you. And they have 25 languages, you guys, that you can use. And right now they are giving a lifetime membership for 50% off. So you can learn as many languages as you want for your entire life, which is amazing. And the best part is, It starts off, you know, with just words and then phrases and then sentences, and then you should be able to have a conversation with somebody that also knows the language, which is, you know, my entire goal. So don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now. Seriously, get started before your summer vacay. Our listeners get 50% off the lifetime membership. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem it today at rosettastone.com/today.
Listeners, did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. That's a lose-lose situation for you and the planet. Nobody's trying to have that. Enter Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Genius! You'll never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run again. Refills start at just $2.25. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine, y'all. When I received my first shipment of Blue Land, I was blown away by how this simple concept just makes so much sense. It's so easy. You just drop the tablet into the stylish functional bottles and get your clean on. I love the subscription option because I am not trying to get one more bulky item in my cart. Blue Land products really get the job done and leave my home smelling so fresh and clean. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this, guys. blueland.com/clink for 15% off.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Well, let me tell you, mylifeinabook.com is a very unique service. I did it for my mom and my grandmother, and it has been amazing. It basically turns your mom's life stories or your grandmother's or anybody that you think is special in your life into a book. So here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send a question via email to the special person, whoever you choose. You can ask custom questions too, but I just kind of let My Life in a Book choose what questions to ask. And then your special person, like your mom, can type their response or they can record their voice. And My Life in a Book compiles it all in a beautiful keepsake for you. And guess what? They can even create audiobooks. I mean, this is such a unique gift that will last a lifetime for you, your mom, your children, your children's children. It is the best gift you can give. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use our code CLINK at checkout for 10% off. This is an unforgettable gift for you and your mom. Get it today. Use our code CLINK, mylifeinabook.com.
So the van ends up getting returned to Aspen, and the police go through its contents and they find maps of Tucson, a sawed-off shotgun, and divorce papers from Pam and Gary Triano's divorce, and an Arizona license plate. The detective that was investigating Ron for fraud thought, this guy might be up to something more shady than fraudulation. But he didn't have any idea what that could be until 2 weeks later. He was watching the news and there was a really horrific pipe bomb explosion in Tucson, Arizona. The bomb was planted in a man's car at a country club and detonated when he got in after he played a round of golf. It was Gary.
Oh, it was Gary?
Yeah, it was Gary Triano. And it occurred to the detective that he knew that name because he had seen the divorce papers in Ron Young's van. So he calls down to Tucson and says, hey, I think this guy might be involved in your bombing situation up here in Aspen, but actually we don't know where he is right now. Well, that correspondence was noted by the Tucson police, but they were following a lot of leads at the time. You know, Gary had made a lot of people not so happy. And given the kind of sophisticated, dramatic effect of the whole car bombing thing, you know, word on the street was it was in some way organized crime connected. So they start eliminating Gary's business associates and Gary's lovers, past loves, all those people as well. Of course, all of his exes were interviewed and cleared. The only ex that really benefited from Gary dying was Pam, because she had a $2 million life insurance policy on him. But Pam was cleared. She was hundreds of miles away, and no one in their circle was pointing a finger at her for being involved in this. You know, his kids liked her.
Hey.
Gary's family says he was a great dad and present for all his kids, but they didn't really know what was going on with him in business. You know, it was kind of like he had a lot of things hidden from his family. So they were real open to, like, we don't know who he does business with. Like, yeah, anyone could have killed him, right?
Right.
You know, they did know he was broke now, right? So Pam had maintained a relationship with Gary's older children. In fact, his daughter went to live with her after she collected that $2 million life insurance policy and built a real nice place in Aspen with her.
So his daughter went to live with her stepmom, essentially, or her old stepmom?
Yeah, she went to go live with her old stepmom to help her with the whole Star Babies business.
Okay.
Okay. So I imagine that $2 million went a whole lot farther in Aspen in 1996. Because
I mean,
right now, right. Let me tell you what you can get for $2 million in Aspen. A two-bedroom condo.
Oh, well, I'm even shocked you can get that.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. I know. I mean, you can not really one of those for $2 million there.
Not one of those like fancy, you know, chalet style. No, like your basic 1,000 square feet, two-bedroom condo. Yeah. Okay. So years go by and Gary's case went cold. After almost a decade in Tucson, detectives decide to re-examine the case and realize that Ron Young was a suspect that they were never able to rule out, but they still can't find him. So the detectives call America's Most Wanted, and they aired an episode about him. Turns out Ron had been in Florida, and he's got a bad back, just like your squirrel, Tab.
Well, the squirrel didn't make it, so hopefully it was a little better than...
Well, it was a little... Well, yeah.
Maybe it's like the first squirrel that fell. You know, he got a little stunned.
Yeah. Well, he got a little stunned because his chiropractor turned him in to America's Most Wanted. They arrested him in 2005 when he showed up for his standing appointment for the fraud charges. Okay.
Good for that chiropractor, because, you know, he's losing business turning him in.
Yes. Good for that chiropractor.
Well, I feel like some people would just think about themselves and be like, I really like the, you know, $150 every other day thing.
True. But I mean, nailing, getting your client busted on America's Most Wanted. I mean, that kind of makes you the town hero. I'll bet he got more business out of it.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, it's a great story. Anyway, so they busted Gary for the, or not Gary, Ron for the fraud charges, but you know, they really wanted to talk to him about Gary's murder, right? So of course, when they ask him, he says, well, he didn't know what they were talking about. Well, they became real convinced that he did know what they were talking about when they searched his apartment and found his computer with emails containing correspondence with Pam that included FedEx tracking numbers from Aspen and an Excel spreadsheet of payments she had given him over the years. And the real nail in the coffin was all the phone calls that Ron had recorded with Pam on cassette tapes.
Oh, dude, way back when.
That's a lot of work.
Oh my gosh, that's so much work.
So
these people that be recording, I mean, we're recording and we basically record our conversations every Thursday on Patreon. But it is a little bizarre when people just record shit all the time.
It is suspicious.
It is strange.
Although, you know, sometimes I would like to have a recording going on all the time of my husband. Because, you know, he says he didn't say something. And I'm like, yes, you did.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yes, you did. I want to rewind the tape. Let's play that back again. Okay. Anywho. So these recordings, they never say like, hey, remember when I bombed your husband so you would give me a portion of that life insurance? That was crazy. But mm-hmm. they do say like, you owe me four and you got your 1.6, which adds mm-hmm. up to 2
adds
million.
Uh-huh.
And she was late on some of her payments. And so they argued on one of the phone calls, and he threatens her saying, you know what you are not going to do? You're not going to like it when you end up in prison for murder. It was an argument over like, he was like tacking on interest and shit. And she was like, I'm not paying more than that. She's okay. So he's like, well, maybe you should. Okay. So they were able to get based on that, a search warrant for Pam's home in Aspen. But Pam is a little smarter than Ron. Because they didn't find anything that linked Pam to Ron or the murder. And so she was a free woman. The fraud charges against Ron ended up getting dropped. But they did sentence him to 10 months for a illegal firearm charge. So he did his 10 months and then he was released. So when all of this happened, Gary's children got around, including his daughter that had lived with Pam after Gary had died, to reading the arrest report and all the which included all the transcripts of the phone calls between him and Pam. And they were thinking like, what the hell? You know, this time we thought Pam was our friend, but she is not. She is our foe. Okay. So they talked to authorities in Tucson about charging her and Ron, but they weren't feeling it because they didn't feel they had enough evidence at the time. Well, that didn't sit well with them. And so they filed a wrongful death civil suit against Ron and Pam. Now, this kind of revived the big Gary Triano story in Tucson. It was a real big deal because Gary was very well known. And so people say that the headlines that civil suit was making put some pressure on the powers that be to do some criminal charging. And so finally they did. Ron was arrested in California, but arresting Pam was a little trickier because she had decided to take herself on a European excursion to visit her daughter who was over in Switzerland going to school. While she was there, she had met her Mr. $20 million net worth minimum.
Man.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
So, of course, Pam decided, I think I'll just stay here in this $5,000 a month apartment with my new boo instead of facing the music in Tucson. But also, she got to thinking, maybe it's a good idea to move around periodically from country to country, which in Europe is not hard to do, right? What Pam didn't know is that they were tracking her cell phone. the whole time. They knew where she was, but it still takes a minute to arrest someone and extradite them in a foreign country. So while Pam is bouncing around, Gary's children won the civil suit that they had filed against her. And after a year of her extended Euro vacay, Pam was arrested in Austria and taken back to Tucson and charged. So Ron went to trial in 2010 and was found guilty and sentenced to life. Pam's trial was put off for another couple of years on account that she was ruled incompetent to stand trial. She knew like all the cards to play. She told a psychiatrist that she thought she had a tracking device on her and someone's been following her for years. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is right? A good one.
Okay. But 2 years after her arrest and 17 years after Gary's murder, Pam went to trial. Now, let me tell you, she did have some pretty compelling defense arguments. Like, there was DNA found on the bomb, and it did not belong to Pam, or Ron.
Oh.
And there was no real physical evidence putting either of them there. As for the life insurance motivator, Pam's defense argued Pam had stopped paying the premiums, which was true. A friend of hers had been paying them for her. Now, this part is like, okay, yeah, I would think, you know, good for Pam. She stops paying the life insurance. But if you're going to kill him for the life insurance, wouldn't you make sure that you were all caught up or that your friend was all caught up, right?
Yeah.
Well, she didn't do that. So that makes her seem a little innocent. But what makes her seem a little guilty is like the very day that Gary died, she called the insurance company and found out and then called her friend frantically and was like, how could you not make the payments? And then Pam overnighted a payment, you know, got it to them within their grace period the next day. So then that makes her sound a little guilty, right? Because it's like, it's the first thing you're thinking is life insurance.
Yeah.
The father of your children. Come on. Okay. So she and Ron say that she owed him money, being Ron, over the years, which is what they're talking about on the phone calls, because of that property in San Diego.
$400,000.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Apparently. Right. And the talk about her going to prison for murder was him extorting her that he knew that she had been a suspect and he was threatening to call the papers or just embarrass her or something. Okay. So also they had, this is probably the best thing Pam had going for her. They had a theory about another associate of Gary's who wanted Gary dead. This person was particularly interesting because he had a big affection for military weapons and a lot of friends who were into that sort of thing. Well, with all the paperwork that, you know, I mean, Ron saves everything, clearly, right?
Right.
They never found anything linking him to having any kind of knowledge of a bomb building or that kind of thing. Okay. But this guy knew all about bombs. Apparently, after the Oklahoma City bombings, this dude's girlfriend at the time went to the authorities and said, I think he was involved. It was him. Yeah. Yeah. That was never proven, of course. But I mean, that makes you go, right? Sounds like bombs were his thing. So also, this man's doctor testified that he had told him on multiple times that he really wanted Gary dead. The problem for Pam and Ron was that now that guy was dead. He had died of a drug overdose a few years back, and so he was no longer available for questioning. I mean, it's kind of a weird thing, right? It's like,
yeah,
even if there is another suspect, if they're dead, they just don't like follow through with it. Try to prove. I don't know. So the jury didn't buy any of it.
No way.
Yeah. They found Pam guilty.
So it is, there is some, what do you think?
I think she had a pretty compelling defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It didn't help Pam's case that her former friend testified that Pam had told her that she's so sick of dealing with Gary, she should just hire a hitman.
Oh, yeah. That's not a good thing. You know, you always say pretty people get away with stuff, but I guess Pam didn't get away with it.
Well, not forever, but let me tell you, she wasn't as pretty 17 years later.
She wasn't.
Oh. Prison didn't work on her. Yeah. Okay. So Pam is now serving a life sentence in Arizona. Gary's children, excluding the ones that he had with Pam, spoke at her sentencing and said she was awful and she was getting what she deserved.
Oh.
Pam spoke back.
Uh-oh.
And said, she's innocent. I'm innocent, just so all of you all know, I am innocent. She's been appealing. All her appeals have been denied. And like I said, I hate to pick on anyone for looks. She is still an attractive woman. It just is that her last mugshot looks like she's done some aging. And Pam strikes me as the kind of person who would have been getting a lot of spa treatments,
Botox, all of that
by now. So this was not what she anticipated her current age.
Well, I guess she doesn't need the 20 mil in the clink.
In the clink, right? Okay, so I mean, I kind of went back and forth, right? It could be a coinkydink. Crazier things that have happened. But I read a book about Pam called Socialite Scorned by author Carrie Crabb. And she thinks she's guilty for sure. And she does. And she spent a year interviewing everybody that knew Pam. So there's that. Like, I'll take your word for it, Carrie.
And Pam has her own children.
Yes. And I could not find them. So I don't know what they think. I mean, there's enough for them to believe she's innocent. So maybe they just are keeping a low profile and they just
hope that one day she would get a retrial.
It's real hard for kids to believe their parents are murderers. Unless you're this one crazy lady going around saying her dad was a serial killer.
Yeah. Yeah. But the dad's dead. So you can't do anything about it. Anyways, I guess. I wonder if they could take that DNA now and test it that they found on the bomb.
Well, they should, right? And
like throw it through the see.
The 23andMe, pull up some mitochondrial, find out the connection, who's related to who, process of elimination.
They won't do the 23andMe, but they'll do it through like
because so many people have put their DNA into 23andMe, that's how they make the family connection.
No, you're right about that, but not with 23andMe. They do it through Ancestry. 23andMe won't release that stuff.
Okay.
So you're safe if you want to go get a 23andMe. They won't release data like that to the police, but Ancestry will.
Well, I'm all
although
for
I
it.
Think all they of them should do it.
They should.
But it could be a violation of your rights at some weird.
Who gives a shit?
Thing.
That's how they got the Golden State Killer. Let's get them.
Get them all.
And you
right?
get the right person when you have the DNA.
I know. I agree.
I'm in for getting the right person.
I am too.
Not the wrong.
I really am. I know. Wow, that was a good one. I like the fraud, and it's a lady killer per se.
You're
not totally convinced. You might have like another Scott Peterson on your hands for you.
Oh my gosh, right? I mean, she hired this guy Ron to do it. She didn't do it.
She's guilty. She's guilty.
She might be.
Yeah, I think she is.
You guys can tell us what you think.
Yeah, please. All right. Well, thank you for that, Gretchy Poo. If you guys want to hear more of us, or if you want to hear our episodes ad-free, that is how you do that on Apple subscription. If you like our ads, which are not so bad, you guys, right? Unless they're like ones that we don't do. We don't know what those are about. You can listen to us on Patreon also. We did put up a Halloween video of us dressed up. Hopefully it's updated because we did add some stuff there. So you know exactly who we dressed up as. And we are going to start doing YouTubes, guys. So please follow us there. It's HWTC, right? Housewives of True Crime. Yes. And I think that's it. If you haven't rated or reviewed us, please do that. And please, please tell your friends about us. That is spreading the word. That's where it is. Is that it, Gretchy?
I think that is a wappadoo.
All right. I need a coffee before the tornado hits.
Oh, Lord.
And please pray that it doesn't. I'm just kidding. Hopefully this storm is not what they're saying it's going to be. Anyways, until Thursday for you guys that listen to the bonus, and until next Monday for all of you that don't. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.